Hey.
Hey, what's up? What's up?
Hey, man, how's it going? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a minute. It's been a minute. All right, everybody, on this podcast today, we have our special guest. Say your name, my brother, because I don't want to blow it.
Yeah, so my rap name is CH, but Steven Hernandez, whatever. You know, everyone calls me different things. It's cool.
All right, so that's H. We're on the today was CH. Bro, explain to the audience who you are.
Okay. So I do I wear a few different hats. So I am a music artist. I'm an adjunct professor, meaning I teach for a college part-time. I have a podcast as well. I'm a youth speaker at different schools and organizations and things like that. And yeah, I mean that's kind of the gist of it. I'm a father, I'm a husband, all that good stuff. There's a bunch of other stuff, but I think those are the main things I'm focusing on right now.
All right, so let's get on the music you was talking about. Explain some more in detail about what's going on, like your music, what you're planning on doing now, what you've been doing in the past.
All right, so it's crazy because it seems like I mean, well, I've been doing it for a while. So in July, it'll be actually 20 years that I've been doing music. I'm a rapper. I started when I was 14, and I was a battle rapper for about 6, 7 years. I became a Christian, so I started doing Christian rap. So I've been doing that for about 13 years, and then so right now I'm kind of in the middle of a transition. Not like 100% transition, but I'm kind of transitioning because I speak at a lot of schools, public schools, and nonprofit organizations. So for those, you can't really just openly say Jesus because there's a lot of people that get offended and they won't allow you to go in there. So I've been making music that's a little bit. So I'm still bringing the same message that we can transform. So I have a movement called Do Something Great, and that's also the website and the podcast, Do Something Great dot today. And so really what it is helping people to find out what is their passion. Why are you here on this earth? Why did God put you here on earth? Find out what you're supposed to do. Not everyone's gonna be a full-time minister, and that's okay. You can be in coding or in technology, you can be into fashion, you can be into automotive, whatever it is, find out what you're here to do and do it with all your heart. So some of my music is just talking about like finding out what that passion is, not giving up. Some of another song is about just I live in Austin now. Originally I'm from Houston, so the song is it's talking about Austin and some cool things about Austin. And they call it Bat City because there's 1.5 million bats that live under a bridge. So I kind of did a play on that, and I named the song Gotham because Gotham is where Batman lives. And so just kind of took that, talk about we're the light. We're everywhere we go, we're the light, not just when we're in church, but when we're at jobs, everywhere we're at. So that's kind of what I'm doing now. I'm working on an album that's a Christian album, and then an EP that's it still has the same type of stuff, but it doesn't necessarily say Jesus in every song. But you can listen to it and tell who I'm talking about. I talk about, I live for the King. I'm raised up, we're living in righteousness and things like that. So I still have all the themes. I just don't say the name as much in those songs because of opportunities to go into the schools where there's no one at.
Okay, can you explain what you think that is? Like, why would there be people that would be like offended at you openly speaking on the Lord's name?
Yeah, so good question. So when I think about the world, so ministry where I was, just straight up in the streets, I would go and talk to people out there. And when I talk about Jesus, some of them are like, oh yeah, I'm with that. Then other people are upset. And there's a difference. So if I talk about Jesus and I'm a nice person and they get upset, then it's a heart issue. But there's been a lot of people that talk about Jesus, but in a belittling way, in a condescending way, where they kind of they're not focused on winning souls. They're focused on winning debates. And so we have a bad rap in the Christian community of being jerks and being, you know, pushing people away. But I think the reason is whenever we go into school and if I talk about Jesus, people are offended because he tells them, you're not, you can't get to heaven without me. He tells them that what you're doing is sin. And whether it's, you know, a LGBT, you know, thing, or whether it's a guy who just wants to sleep around, or whether it's a person who wants to, you know, be addicted to whatever, a drug or whatever it is, God's telling them, and the Bible is telling them, like, hey, I have a better life for you. I have something greater for you. I have something that's more important for you. And so they get offended because there's someone telling them that what they're doing is not right. And so they try to say, well, you're taking away my rights. And when actuality, like I have two kids, you'll probably hear them in the background. If they're playing with a pair of scissors that are sharp and dangerous, I take them away from them. They're going to cry. They're going to scream. They're going to get upset. And I'm going to tell them, look, I'm taking this away. I have something better for you. I'll give you a toy. I'll give you some food, whatever you want. But I'm going to take away this thing that's dangerous to you, that's harmful from you. And so they can look at it and say, man, my dad is, he's a lawgiver. He's mean. He doesn't want me to have fun. Or they can look at it and say, man, he's watching out for me. He sees the potential danger in me running around with scissors and he doesn't want me to hurt myself. But most people look at Christianity and they look at Jesus as this person who wants to limit my fun. And he doesn't want me to have fun. He wants me to be a square and be bored all day. So that's kind of why I think it is. I think it's a sin issue. It's a heart issue. They want to do whatever they want to do. And whenever they have to understand that, hey, this Jesus is God and he's saying it's not okay to do what we're doing, they don't like that.
Where do you think we are right now? And where do you think we're headed? From your personal view, in the end times, because you know, I wasn't trying to bring up the subject, but you know, it kind of actually just went that way. So like now, when I hear stuff like this, it makes me hear things of like the end time days of, you know, when people are going to be persecuted for speaking the Lord's name and you know, thrown in prison. Some will be severely persecuted, you know, put to death, and there's going to be martyrs and things of this nature. What are your views on the end times? Like, what do you think about that?
All right, so that's a definitely a deep, good conversation to have.
Like, but from your perspective, because
yeah,
you're actually doing these things, you're actually being in these places and actually seeing the programs and how these things are going on. Like, you're dealing with it personally. So like, how does that make you feel? Like when someone tells you, hush, don't say the name of Jesus. Like what about your rights? Like, how does that make you feel as a Christian? Basically, yeah. Can you explain that? Okay.
Okay. So I'll try to answer it in two ways, and I'll try to keep it short, and then if you need clarity, so I'll answer it the first way, I think, and then I'll answer it the second way, because those are kind of two different questions, but they definitely go together. So the first way, so I think we're getting close. If we look at history and we look at the rise and fall of any empire, we see it. There's actually some common things that are happening. We look at the Roman Empire. They were the most feared, the most powerful, you know, power there was. And then came this little small organization, this little small religion, Christianity, and it just wiped them out in a sense. Like, you know, it overtook Rome and then Rome fell. And so it's interesting if you see that. So there was a lot of there was homosexuality everywhere. There was corruption everywhere. There was a lot of things that's very similar to the U.S. So it's unfortunate because I don't want America to fall. I don't want us to be under the hand of any dictators and things like that. I think America's the most free country. There's a lot of good benefits, but then there is a lot of bad things as well. You know, there's a bad history. We're going to be celebrating, you know, the holiday soon, and there's a lot of bad history around Thanksgiving and other things like that. But I think that we're getting closer to the end times. I don't think that in America should be the gauge of the end times, only because the Bible wasn't written to 21st Americans. It was written in the Middle East. But we can look at our times and see definitely that there is a lot of things that are happening here. But we ought to remember that it's been happening for hundreds of years in the Middle East. It's been happening for, you know, hundreds of years now in China. And there's a lot of things that have been happening. Persecution has been going on since the beginning for Christianity. But when we look at America as a gauge and say, man, you know what? Even it's happening here, which we thought, you know, it was founded by Christians. Harvard was a Christian university. Princeton was a, you know, Presbyterian theological university. You know, all these major Ivy Leagues were founded to equip Christians to go and spread the gospel. Now they're the most liberal and against Christianity, which is a shame. So I think we're getting closer. I think Christians need to memorize the word. We need to learn the word. If they take our Bibles, it's fine, because we got this word in our heart. They're not going to take it. That's what a lot of Asian Christians are doing. They're memorizing the word of God like crazy. And again, Muslims, they memorize. The Quran is the most memorized book in the world. It's not true. It's not of God, but it's the most memorized book of the world. So I think we're getting closer to the end times. I see there's pushes to overtake our rights as Christians. Anytime someone has an issue, they can voice it. If I say that I want to identify as as a woman, if I want to identify as a different nationality, if I want to identify as anything, my rights are celebrated. But if I say, you know what, I'm a Christian and I am a straight man and I love my wife and I don't have multiple wives, and then we see the same thing with Chance the Rapper, that it's being, you know, the fans are hating it. I was watching an interview with Chance on Ellen, and she asked him, what is your reasoning for giving $1 million to education, $1 million to mental health? He said, Jesus. And the crowd got silent. And he started talking about his family and his mom and dad, that they were always giving. And then the crowd started cheering again. But he said it was Jesus. And so I think we're definitely in a bad place. I think the Christians don't always help out our image, but I think we're in a bad place. The world hates us. We know that it's supposed to happen. And I kind of struggle with what exactly happens in the end time, as far as I want the world to get better. I believe my part of my mission is to make the world better, to stop human trafficking, to speak up against prejudice and racism and build up the church and things like that. But I also know that the Bible says that when the end times come, it's going to get worse. And I believe that, you know, I don't know how long, but I believe that, yeah, we're going to face persecution where you can't say Jesus, you can't be a Christian. They tried to do that in Houston. They were taking people's sermons away from them, or not allowing them to preach, or they wanted to see their sermons ahead of time if it talked about anything that had to do with homosexuality. But there was a pushback, thank God, that they could still preach about whatever they're preaching about.
Can you explain to the audience what the Bible says about the afterlife? For those that are the righteous and for those that that choose not to live righteously.
Okay, so so this is what I believe, and I'm not saying it's going to be something very different for most Christians, but so I don't believe that heaven is going to be a place where, like, let's say I like PlayStation and you like Xbox, where I play PlayStation all day. And let's say you hated PlayStation. Heaven would not be good for you if all we did is play PlayStation, right? You're like, oh man, I hate that. Or let's say for the person who loves golfing, heaven is golfing all day and we're just chilling and playing golf. And I would hate that. I don't play golf. So heaven is not a place where it's going to be tailored to the individual. I believe that heaven is going to be something far greater than that. It's greater than women who want to go on a shopping spree all day and they get all the sales and everything they try on fits them. That's not what heaven's like, but heaven's even better. Heaven is not having to worry about cancer hitting your loved ones, not having to worry about the cops and racism, and not worrying about, you know, a drunk driver killing a little kid. You're not going to have to worry about bills and financial struggles anymore. You're not going to have fear and worry and doubt. And the Bible says that there's no more tears. There's no more hurt. There's no more pain. He wipes it away. There's not even a need for the sun, because God's glory is just so radiant. And so heaven is, it's a recreation of earth, what God initially created. God initially made a paradise for us to live in, to be with him, to be able to talk to him and to fellowship with him, and to have that communion. And we see in the Bible, just in the third chapter, after God created the heavens and the earth, and he said it was good, and he created human beings so we could have a fellowship, and woman so that we can have a helpmate and someone to be in relationship with, then it was all destroyed. And then that's when racism came in, and then that's when murder came in, that's when lying came in, earthquakes and tornadoes and tsunamis, everything came in at the fall. So what God is doing in the new heavens is he's bringing that back, but he's taking away all the ugly stuff that came as a result of sin, as a result of saying, God, I see what you did, but I want to try this on my own. I don't need you. I see what you created, but I want to do this apart from you. And so heaven is for those who say, I can't do this on my own. I need someone to do this for me. And that's what Jesus did. He came as a substitute and say, look, you couldn't do this. None of you can do this. None of you. If I can get to heaven without Jesus, then he didn't have to die. If I can be good enough to get to heaven without having Jesus, then he didn't have to die. He wasted his time. If I can do it on my own. But that's what we're trying to do. That's what Muslims do. That's what humanism does. It says, I can be good on my own without God. And those who say, Jesus, you took the punishment. You died on the cross. You received 39 lashes on your back. You were whipped. You were beat. You were forsaken. You were disfigured to the point that you weren't even able to be recognized by your own mother, who spent 33 years with you. And I believe that you did that not because you were a sinner, not because you were guilty, but because I was. And I believe that you're going to save me so I can be in that relationship with you forever. And so that's what I believe is the ones who accept Jesus and say, Jesus, I need you to be Lord, not just my Savior. I don't want you to just take me to heaven, but you have to be my Lord. You have to be my Lord. That means whatever you want. Do you want me to stop smoking, drinking, partying, looking at women in the wrong way? You want me to stop doing this or looking at that or hearing that or treating people in this way? I don't want to do it because it hurts you and it's not what you created for me. You have something better for me. And those people who do that are going to be able to go to heaven. And the Bible talks about there's a place that was not initially created for human beings. A lot of people say, why can a good God send people to hell? He didn't create hell for human beings. Hell was not created to torture us and punish us. Hell was created for the devil and Satan and all his minions, who said, we're going to destroy everything that you made. We're going to destroy everything beautiful that you created. We're going to destroy this earth and all the people along with it, and as many people as we can. But those who follow those ways are going to end up in that same place, because God's not going to force us to go to heaven. If you don't want Jesus right now, you're not going to want Jesus in the afterlife. You're not going to want him. You want to do what you want to do, and the consequences are you're going to be separated from God forever.
You think about those that choose to not follow Christ. And as you said, you know, you believe, and I mean, I agree with what you said. You believe that those that choose to not accept the salvation through Christ Jesus and reject him, the original place that is spoke of in the Bible is that there will be a pit for the devil and his angels. But those that choose to not accept him, and a lot will believe that, you know, that they will be getting in, actually, from the religious people to the so-called named Christians. They'll believe they'll be getting in, but it's going to be a time when Jesus is going to look at the religious people. He's going to say to them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." So they won't be getting into heaven, as you said, as you explained. And sadly, they will be going to the pit because they chose not to receive the Lord's salvation. So my question is what do you think about that?
As far as what, I mean, I agree, but what do you mean?
Continue, Sam.
All right.
What, so what, I guess, what part do you want me to speak on? What do I think about, like, is that just, do I think that, that's what's going to happen?
Yeah, can you just explain a little bit, like, more in detail about that?
Yeah, yeah. Let me, I'm going to open up my Bible real quick, and then I'm going to read what, that passage. So that's from Matthew chapter 7. It's in a few other places, but this is Jesus speaking. Verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many were going to say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name?' And I would declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" And so it's not going to be just people who are kind of on the fence, but it's going to be people that go to church on Sunday and people who maybe have done some mighty works, people who've done some things. And they said they even prophesied in his name. These are not just, you know, just regular Christians that kind of go once in a while, but these are people who have been kind of devoted. And so there's going to be a great moment, I believe it's in Matthew chapter 25, where he talks about separating. Let me see if I can bring it up real quick. Let's see. The final judgment. So he's going to separate. And then there's another passage where Jesus tells a parable, and he says, there's an enemy who came and sowed these bad seeds among these weeds among his garden. And they're going to spring up together. They're going to grow together. They look similar, but they're not in line. They're not really following. And I think the most important part, because he says they're going to say, "Lord, Lord." They're not going to just say "Lord" once. They're going to say "Lord, Lord." Like "Jesus, you are my Lord." But I'm writing a book about the idea that what we believe is what we do. So we have this theology that I believe that God is omnipresent. I believe so. Omnipresent means that he's everywhere. He's present everywhere. But most Christians, they don't live as if God is omnipresent. They live one way in church, and then they live different when they're at work, when they're with their coworkers, and they start joking about women or joking about certain things. They live one way when they're inside the church or when they're with their pastor. But they live a different way at home. They live a different way. So he's saying, just because you call me Lord, just because you use your words and give me lip service, that's not enough. Just because you say the right words, or you can sing the songs, you have the worship songs memorized, and just because you can do certain things and you give money to the poor or you give your tithe, that's not enough. That's not enough to get into heaven. And he says that I'm going to separate my people from the people who pretend to be my people. And I was just gonna say briefly, and then you can jump in, but we can trick each other. Like I can trick you to believing that I'm a good person, I'm a Christian, but I can't trick God no matter what. I can put on a facade, I can memorize scripture, I can quote scripture, but he knows what's up. I can't hide my heart from him.
Okay, we're getting close to the 30-minute mark now. I'm going to try to keep the podcast within 30 minutes.
Okay.
All right. So in sincerity and purity, can you explain to the audience what does God call us to do to be saved?
All right. So we're on a journey. I believe everyone's on a journey, regardless if they hate God or they're trying to follow hard after God. So we use the formula from Romans chapter 10:9 that says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, he rose again on the third day, then you shall be saved. And so that's the initial thing. So there's stages to it. But like, let's say if I'm a person and, you know, I'm whatever. Back in the day, I was a battle rapper, smoking, drinking, fornicating. And I had a moment where I said, okay, God, I believe you are Jesus who died on the cross. I believe you died for my sins. I believe. And I say, you are my Lord. And in my heart, like I feel it and I know it that God did something in my heart, and I go off and I get killed. I believe I will go to heaven. What happened is I backslid for 2 years. After that moment, I thought I was good with God. I thought me and God were okay because I said that prayer. I was raised in the Catholic Church that said, you know, once you're baptized as a baby, you're good. If you mess up and you do a bunch of sins, then you basically you're going to be in purgatory until you pay off your sins, and then God will let you into heaven. So let's say if I was still smoking, drinking and partying and fighting or whatever, then I would spend 20, 30, 100 years in hell or in purgatory, and then God will let me into heaven. And I don't believe that. So I believe what God calls us to do is to have a relationship with him. It's not to say, okay, stop drinking, stop smoking, stop doing all this stuff. But what it is to do is to say, okay, God, speak to me. I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want you to be my Lord. I want to be led by your spirit. I want to follow you. I want to read your word. And so I believe that church and Bible studies and small groups and reading and devotional and all that stuff is good. They help us to know him. But if we turn and say, I'm going to read the Bible because I put a checklist, I have a checklist so I can show God I'm doing a lot of good stuff, it's not enough. So I believe that God, yeah.
Okay. So if I'm hearing you clearly, you believe that a person has to acknowledge Christ, accept Christ in his heart, and follow him? Or is it just to accept him? And because there's some people that I personally know that have accepted Christ at one point in time, and they've completely turned their back on him. I mean, like, some even hate him. Some have even become atheists, open acknowledgers that they refuse, they don't even believe in God.
Yeah.
So for me, how I would understand that is, you know, some can be on a path of salvation. This is how I choose to believe it, but based upon scripture as I see it as a whole, is that you can accept and follow Christ at a moment in time, but you know, if you don't stay on that path following Christ, Christ in the end may say, depart from me, for I never knew you. And I mean, yeah. if we look at Judas, Judas was on the path of Christ.
Yep.
And at some point in time, he turned away. And I mean, I can't say if he made it into heaven or not. I really don't know. But I do know scripture that says that when Jesus said that, it was better, you know, that
if he was never born. You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely. I would say that Jesus says that those who fight into the end, basically you have it into the end shall be saved. Those who continue, right. It's a continual thing. It's a continual right. Relationship. Yeah. It has to be continual. It can't just be, I did that once when I was 13 and I'm good. And no, you have to have that relationship. The Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, not work for it, but you're working out, you're continuing to have that relationship.
Okay. So getting back real quick on the subject of your music, because I would like to get all of this out there too. Your music, you're a hip-hop artist, hip-hop rap artist. You go by the name Saya.
C-H.
I'm gonna get this right. I'm going to get this right now, because I'm a little ashamed about that now, because I used to say your name was C-H. Yeah, I know. But Saya. So your name is Saya?
C-H. No, you got it right. My name is C-H.
Oh, so what I was saying, Saya before?
Maybe.
I think so. Yeah, because I know I wasn't getting it right, and you had to like rebuke me about that. So.
It's all good.
All right. So C-H then. And you do Christian music. We've done music together in the past. I'm going to put that also in the podcast, so people can actually like literally listen to you and hear you, yeah. Hear you rap.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah.
Can you give us all information about yourself, your email, the name of the book you're working on, your podcast, because he also has his own podcast show. That, you know, he has that for you guys, if you guys want to check that. So just give us all quick information about yourself, about your music, your emails, social media and all that. Your YouTube, he's also a YouTuber that makes YouTube videos, does the editing. He does a really, really good job with that. So please give the listening audience your info.
All right. Yeah, I appreciate it. So, there's a few websites, so ch.com, SEA-H.com. Also, do something great .today. So it's not .com, it's .today, because I want to speak about the urgency, not waiting till later. Then you could look up my YouTube channel called What's Good Austin. I find good places to eat and fun stuff to do in Austin. And those websites should show you where all my music is and everything. I have links to all that. My email is H as in Hernandez dot Steven Eric. So H dot Steven Eric at gmail.com. But again, if you go to ch.com or do something great dot today, you'll find all my music, all my YouTube, all anything and everything. It's all connected in that one place.
All right. Anything else, brother, that you would like to add?
Nah, I just want to say I appreciate
statements.
Yeah, I just want to say I appreciate the opportunity. We should definitely get back together and do some more music. Don't Stop was something everybody loves, that song, dope song. The other tracks as well, and just anybody, if you're searching, if you're wondering about some of these things, you know. Hit up Elfon, hit me up. You can message me and we'll talk about it. I mean, that's what we're here for. It's not just to do a podcast, but we want to talk and we want to have conversations about these things. They're important to us. We love talking about the difficult things that you have questions about. And we can get it in.
Sounds good, brother. Definitely appreciate having you too. This was a good chop up to, receive, some information and you know, as the word of God says, you know, where two of you are together, you're together in my name, you know. So yeah. Basically, we need to stick together as believers so that Christ can be glorified and we can actually learn things from each other, you know. I was edified and blessed to have you on the show. And I hope the viewers that listen can actually, that this message will, you know, draw them to a state of repentance if they're not living for God, that this could be an evangelistic tool used to educate new Christians that aren't, that don't know why they follow Christ. You know, maybe they've been in a church and they don't really fully understand the reasons. So may God bless it. And thanks to the audience for listening. Thank you, CH. And thanks for listening to the Man Wise podcast. And we're out.
Peace.
Peace out.